This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
I'm cold. Would you let me stay here for tonight?
I know who you are. You're Jean Valjean.
Drop my gun!
Right, my girl. On your way.
I had a dream my life would be.
Help me, please.
Where is your child?
No life has killed the dream.
One day more.
Is it?
Another day, another destiny.
Mademoiselle.
It's never-ending road to Calvary.
Where is the child, Cosette?
That, of course, is the now very familiar trailer to the smash box office hit Les Mis. Who would have thought that a movie based upon, well, a play based upon a 19th century French novel by Victor Hugo would make such a splash? And Sunday night, it certainly made a splash. Two of its actors receiving Golden Globes. We'll be talking about Les Mis and a couple of the other recipients of honor in the Golden Globe Awards in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest for the first half hour. We've got a little of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line in the second half hour. In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us. We'll be talking with him about the message of life in a culture of death. Get his thoughts on 40 years coming up 1 week from today, 40 years of Roe v. Wade. And then Pastor Tom Baker will be teaching a Sunday school lesson with us in the latter part of the second hour of the program on this Tuesday afternoon. Jesus changed water into wine in John chapter 2. Now you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is a regular guest. He's pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and he's co-host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, good to be on.
What did you think about Les Mis?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not the kind of person that does this often. Maybe once or twice a year during maybe a Good Friday service, I'll get the glimmer of a tear in one of my eyes. I can't remember the last time I cried and had tears run down my face. And I know I've never done it in a movie theater before. It happened twice during this movie. Tears I had to wipe away. I was blown away by several of the performances in this show, and it really is a testimony to the power of the musical itself. One thing that Les Mis does, and people who know theater know this about this show, it manages to combine what we'd like to see happen in our liturgy a lot, combine the power of words with the power of music that is appropriate to those words, and it can really just knock you off your feet. I walked away just not even knowing how to feel. The pain that is expressed in this show, the redemption as well, it is one powerful, powerful thing.
So in your opinion, I think it was Best Actress, Best Actor. The awards of the Golden Globes on Sunday night went to Anne Hathaway, Best Actress, Hugh Jackman for Best Actor in that film. Well-deserved?
Yeah, I think Hathaway was supporting actress, and oh my gosh, yeah, she's the highlight of the movie. She absolutely deserved it. Jackman as well, given his previous roles in film, what we're used to. I mean, I enjoy him as Wolverine quite a bit, but you know, usually aren't going to give Best Actor to Wolverine. He really surprised me, his ability to carry the role and carry what is a musically tremendously difficult part. You can't just have a kind of an average tenor voice and even sing this thing, let alone sing it well. They both definitely deserved it. They easily were the peak of the show. The guy who plays Marius as well is very good. Eponine's very good, but no one really rises to the level that those two did. The one sad thing about the movie is that Russell Crowe, who plays Javert, which is also a very difficult part, you know, he's fine facially, physically, but his voice was just not in the same ballpark as the rest of the film, and it was something of a distraction. You know, as I say, the movie was potent and powerful, again, as a testimony to the power of the show itself, I have a lot of criticisms of the film as film. I don't think it does everything that it could do, and yet the musical itself is so strong that it doesn't matter in one sense. It still manages to blow you away. But some of the way that the accompaniment was handled was distracting. I'm not exactly sure how or why that happened. I just remember I kept thinking, man, it's like the music somewhere else. Like they're singing here and the music's over there. And that was problematic. Russell Crowe, again, he never should have been cast in this role, as much as I like him as an actor. And there's something about having a musical as a culture. We're just not quite used to this anymore. We don't do this as much anymore. And so the movie was a little hard to get into. And I wondered if some of that was, again, whether they're singing in locations other than where they're doing the filming. They're certainly not on a soundstage. So there's problems like that are technical. But to get back to your original question, are those awards that were won, from what I could see, are well-deserved. Well-deserved.
What's the story that is able, through this musical, to prove so compelling in spite of your other criticisms?
Golly, it's unreal. it's a story of the French Revolution on the one hand, and that means the story of a people oppressed into grave depravity by their overseers, the kings and nobility of France, so great poverty, who are struggling against this and seeking for something better. And then woven into and around this are the lives of several individuals, a convict who is striving to be a free man, having received his parole, a worker who has lost her job and is striving to provide for her child and doesn't know what to do anymore. And then two young people as well that are seeking for hope in the midst of a world of chaos. And all of them are wrestling with the pain of what they see before them and how to deal with it. Jean Valjean, the main character, he really carries the story, his redemption, from convict to a man who is willing to live for mercy rather than for the law, per se. And then he's bounced off of the antagonist, Javert, who's chasing him because he has broken his parole. The police officer who lives by the law and only by the law, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, who comes the real kind of culmination of the movie is when they face down each other and Jean Valjean is trying to save a man's life. Javert wants to arrest him and let the man die. And yet Valjean, because he has shown mercy to Javert at a previous point where he could have killed him, he lets him go, and this becomes a moment that Javert cannot take. He is a man who lives by the law, and now that he's shown mercy, he doesn't even know what to do. It's just there's so many themes of redemption running in through with and under this movie. You can't get away from it, which gets to your point. It is a surprising thing for American Hollywood in the age of the modern and postmodern nihilism to just go gaga over this incredibly Christian-themed movie with clear Christian statements within it about the God of redemption, about the Christian God, who kind of is at the root of even Valjean's redemption through the work of a priest that spares him and tells him that he has purchased his life for God by the blood of the Savior, if I recall. It's an amazing thing that in our culture this would still resonate with us.
So talk about those. Now, here we're not just talking about Christian symbolism or Christian ideas that have somehow found their way accidentally into Hollywood production. And probably a lot of this goes to Victor Hugo and then the adaptation for stage. But talk about those explicitly Christian ideas that show up there.
Yeah, you know, and not being an expert on the show, I'm just going from memory of watching it again recently, but it is very clear that as Jovan is a convict and attempts to make a theft from a priest who has welcomed him into the monastery for a night, that after he is caught and the priest basically lies to the police and says, no, I let him have that stuff, he tells him that what he is doing is connected to the Savior, and that he has been purchased through mercy to a different life. Javon then goes through a crisis, and the movie has him in this crisis song kneeling before a crucifix as he prays. He doesn't know what to do now. Who he's always been is a man of the law, that is a man of eye for eye, tooth for tooth, even as a man who stole a loaf of bread, he still was eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And now he is not sure what to do with this mercy, but he makes this, if I'm remembering it correctly, he makes this statement that because of the salvation he's received, he is going to change his ways. And he goes forth and lives a life of giving mercy to others. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, you got the end song of one of the big moments. I think it's the end of the first act. It's hard to tell with the movie, but song One Day More. The whole song is about there's one day more till all the stories are going to be resolved. And like the last line is one day more until we see what our God in heaven has in store. So again, this providential trusting that the God of mercy is actually working through all of this. There are a number of these explicit statements throughout the film, and that does have to do with adaptation. That can't just be Victor Hugo. And I'm not familiar with the history of this, who adapted this and why, or even what Hugo's religious background is. My guess in France, he's Roman Catholic, but that's just a guess.
Pastor Jonathan Fiske is our guest. He's pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois. We're doing a little review of a couple of movies that were featured in the Golden Globes Awards, Les Mis, and when we come back, Django Unchained. Two very different movies, by the way. He's co-host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. You can find a link to Worldview Everlasting at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to talk just a little bit more about Les Mis and then turn to another big winner, Django Unchained. Its director, Quentin Tarantino, one of my favorites, put this one together. And I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. What I have seen are the previews. I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. We'll find out the answer to that question right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Lutheran. It's not a label. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoota, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
And the Golden Globe goes to Argo.
And the award goes to Daniel Day-Lewis. Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty.
Ben Affleck, Argo. Skyfall. Christoph Waltz.
It was like the end of one era and the beginning of something else.
few of the sounds from the Golden Globes on Sunday. The two big winners in terms of movies on that award night were Les Mis and Django Unchained. We're talking with Pastor Jonathan Fisk about Les Mis in just a second. We'll turn to the other film, Django Unchained. One question, you said something at the very beginning of our conversation about how this, as a musical, does what the church is often attempting to do, this this marriage of word and music to deliver the message. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, it's a unique truth about music by itself, just tune or melody, that it has a way of touching the human beyond the rational mind. It can get past your brain and wiggle its way into your heart, depending on how good it is. Right, not all music does this, but good music has a way of getting in your head with or without the words. And pop music especially tries to do this. But you find that after you've heard something that touches you, you'll find yourself singing it or humming it, right? Because it's in you. Now, the church, recognizing this, has always striven to take that reality and use it as a servant of the Word of God, to help that Word get deeper into you, so that it's not simply a rational, learned thing, but becomes something where heart and mind meet, both through the singing of it. And it's a very difficult thing to do, because it means that not only do the words and the music have to match, so that the music serves the word by pointing you to the same emotions that the word would point you to, but then it also has to actually draw up emotions and make you want to sing it. And hymns and song have tried to do this. Sometimes they do it well, sometimes they don't, but it's something you want to strive to do. Les Mis, again, manages to pull this off in a pretty profound way, to where I mean, when I talked about crying, you know, usually when I watch a movie, I'm very analytical. I'm thinking about it all the way through the movie, analyzing it, and it can touch me in a way that my mind understands, and I can say, wow, that was powerful. But what this movie managed to do was, by combining those deep thoughts and ideas with music, it skipped my head a little bit and got straight into my heart, which most movies aren't able to do. And so that's the power of music. This can be used for evil as well as for good. It can be used to spread lies as well as truth. The church does well to understand this, pursue this, and strive to have our liturgy and preaching uplifted by the best possible song for retaining that word and helping us sing it and remember it.
Do you know what a bounty hunter is? You kill people, and they give you a reward.
Better they are, bigger the reward.
I need your help. I'm looking for the Brittle Brothers. However, I don't know what they look like, but you do. Don't you?
They caught my wife, and they sold her, but I don't know who to.
That means we visit every plantation until we find them.
Once a final Brittle Brother lies dead in the dust, I agree to give you your freedom, and I'll take you to rescue your wife.
Where are we going?
Well, there's a trailer from Django Unchained, also a big winner in the Golden Globes on Sunday night. What did you make of this one, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, first I got to laugh that after that little exposition on music and the word, the next thing we have is this high-pitched scream and 70s era, I don't even know what to call it, hip-hop. That's
they
hilarious.
Call it funk, by the
funk,
way.
Funk, that's the word. Yeah, that was great. That was a wonderful transition. What did I make of this one? I enjoyed it. I've been kind of a guilty pleasure fan of Tarantino ever since Pulp Fiction, recognizing his weaknesses. He certainly abuses language, the colorful metaphors, which I'm not necessarily against, but man, it can get overwhelming in his films. He has a need to have red juice fly across the screen as if it were blood constantly, with kind of excessive violence. And, you know, that's not for everybody, and I don't like it. Even as I look forward to his movies, I don't enjoy those parts of his movies. However, what he does so well, and no one quite can do it like him, is he manages to mesh together multiple genres in a way that is both humorous and serious, and usually wrestles with pretty deep ideas and themes while doing it, in almost a tongue-in-cheek kind of way. And Django does this as well as anything since Pulp Fiction, or maybe True Romance. It was a good movie. If you like Westerns and you approve of the history of the Western, both in its seriousness, say with things like the Clint Eastwood movies, or I'm trying to think of the one that was more recent. I can't think of it. Or if you liked Westerns of old, the old prior to John Wayne, cowboy in the fancy clothes, 1950s style, he manages to take these two things and he shoves them together in a movie that ultimately is about racism, combined with the German myth of Siegfried and his defeat of the dragon in order to save his beloved woman. And all that is going on in this movie, which at the same time is paying tribute to 70s funk. I mean, how do you do this? How do you manage to put all these things into one film? He did it, and he does it pretty well, with some really good acting and some fantastic dialogue. DiCaprio is at his best in this movie. Christopher Waltz, who got Best Supporting Actor, I believe, at the Golden Globes, definitely deserved it. He really played his part well. I didn't know who he was before this, and he's fantastic. Jamie Foxx does good. I mean, it really is a good film. Provided that you can stomach Tarantino, which a lot of people can't, and I'm not going to hold that against them.
He has a strong theme. It's in Pulp Fiction. It is in Inglourious Bastard, which was where Waltz acted before for Tarantino as a Nazi. It's in this one of retribution. How do you deal with that theme as a Christian viewer of Tarantino's films?
Sure. Well, it depended on how you look at it, right? Is retribution something that that the Christian can say, yes, let us get vengeance for all wrongs done against me? No, that we don't do that. Why? Because Christ has taken vengeance into himself, where the Almighty God has poured out his wrath, his justice, onto Christ for our sakes. And for that reason, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, because he's putting it into Christ, and so he asks us not to take vengeance now. At the same time, there is this reality that justice is what's behind that, and justice is a good thing. I don't think any Christian would say that it's not a good thing. We don't want vigilante justice, but we do desire to live in a just society, even as people redeemed by Christ seeking mercy. We pray for our rulers that in wisdom and justice they would restrain evildoers and they would promote good, right? Well, in the movie, both Django and I can't think of... Dr. King Schultz is who Waltz plays. They're bounty hunters working for the government to find those who truly do need to be brought to justice for their crimes they've committed. And then you throw into this mix the reality of the slavery question and whether racism and slavery is a good or bad thing. And it is very much a movie about good versus evil and right versus wrong. Now, is there any moments where the individual characters take vengeance upon themselves and break the law? Yes, there is. Do we want to cheer that on as Christians? No, not necessarily. But in the context of the entire story, is it so dominating that you cannot learn from it? No, not at all. It is quite profound, especially, I cannot emphasize this enough, that the question of race, as he wrestles with it in this film, with, I haven't mentioned his name yet, Samuel L. Jackson is phenomenal in this movie. The question of racism beyond color, almost, where you have a black man who is racist against his own, and you have a white man who is also hating his own for the sake of the racism he shows. It's pretty potent stuff, and it's not really just about retribution. It is about what is good, what is evil, and it is about can you overcome that? Does good ultimately overcome evil or not?
One real quick question on that. We went from kind of the height of the sublime of the Christian symbolism, the Christian message, kind of the best that Hollywood has produced in a long, long time in Les Mis, to, and I think Tarantino would say, I'm cranking out, I'm grinding out these kind of movies that amuse me for various reasons. And both telling compelling stories. Why does Hollywood like both? What are your thoughts there with About a Minute?
Oh, I think Hollywood will do whatever it takes to make money. Honestly, they're gonna make their pragmatism gods shine down glorious happiness upon them by doing whatever it takes to get people to buy tickets. So there's that whole edge to it. What we see in both of these movies, I think, are the best of that, in that they're a place where the talent of the actors, the writing of the scripts, and the handling of the camera technically all meet at the peak of their talents and provide a complete experience. Now, how can Hollywood handle such diversity? Well, we're diverse humans. We're diverse people. At the same time, you can't get away. No matter how much you dress it up, you can't get away from these themes of good versus evil. You can't get away from these themes even of redemption. As much as Django does take vengeance upon those who have wronged him, at the same moment he is redeeming his bride who has been stolen from him by enemies who are sheerly evil. I mean, even that's a Christian motif right there, of Christ saving his bride from the devil. So the true story that lies behind all story, which makes story worth telling, the story of the God who loved us in Christ, ultimately is what drives us to buy tickets to hear people tell us stories. We need hope in this dying world, and story is the way that many of us get it. Now, as Christians, we have the completion of that in Christ. That doesn't make receiving just average everyday stories either good or bad, but in and with and from them, we can learn to see both truth and falsehood.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor for Witness and Youth at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and co-host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right, when we come back, we'll respond to your comments on the Issues Etc. comment line. It's Tuesday afternoon, January the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues Etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give. As opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion was left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support. And you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues Etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues Etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues Etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org, shoplogia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.